And I was actually thinking, as Sister Ashley was singing, you know, why are we here? And we're here because of Jesus Christ. We really don't have any other reason to meet together tonight except for Jesus. And so I trust tonight will be a blessing. This is a passage of Scripture that typically is read during the Easter time of the year. And I know a lot of stores and different things will say Christmas in July. That's kind of a new thing. Well, I want to have Easter in September. And so I'd like to read this passage of Scripture. And this passage really is where our hope lies, is none other than Jesus Christ, but most importantly, the resurrection. Because if we didn't have the resurrection, we really would just have a religion. We know that Christ died. We know that He died for our sins. We know that He took our place. But what's most important is the fact that He didn't stay in the grave, but He was resurrected. And so that's where our hope lies, in that promise that He made in the resurrection. So I'd like to read this passage for us tonight, and we'd like to share just a few thoughts with you. Beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, or women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." So that gives testimony to the simple fact that Jesus was crucified, and they came to see this place where Jesus was. And the word says, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus. So they came to seeking Jesus. But verse 6 is our testimony and what we hold to tonight, because it says, "For he is not here, for he is risen as he said." And then there's an invitation. "Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. So they left with two different things. They left with fear and they left with joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid, go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see him." So there's several testimonies in this passage of Scripture that Jesus is to be seen, or was seen. And that's important, because that gives us hope today, because that's a testimony of the fact that Jesus was risen. And risen from the dead. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for the good day that you've blessed us with, the music of the day, and just the good spirit. We thank you for the answered prayer that you continually answer. And Lord, many times we see a true testimony of answered prayer, and that's with just simply having each one of us here, but not only that, Dean. And Lord, we thank you for that. Father, we pray that you'll help us tonight. I need your help, Lord. But Lord, most importantly, I want to stand aside and cause people to see Jesus Christ. And Father, if there's someone that's listening, either through the internet or even in this room tonight, that don't know Christ, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a question tonight that maybe you can relate to, but the question is, has any of you ever worked for a parent before? Have y'all ever worked a public job for a parent? How was it? Yeah, I see those eyes. My dad invested in a company when I was a teenager. I hadn't had my license yet. And so through the summer, he asked me if I wanted to work. And that meant if I wanted any money, I needed to work. So I told him, it was kind of like one of them things, do you want to work? You're going to work kind of thing. And so so every morning we would go in and whatever job he had me to do, then I would try to do it. And then every afternoon on the way home after being there, and on the ride home, I was at work again. Actually, I wasn't at work. I was at school because my dad was teaching me some things. And it's some things that I remember even today. One of the things that he taught me was don't stand around with your hands in your pockets. And so even today, if I'm at work and I catch my hand in my pocket, I pull it out real quick. Like my dad's what? I might be reaching to get something out of my pocket. And I'm like, but that was one of the things that he taught me. So apparently when I was working and maybe there wasn't anything to do, I would just kind of be standing around. And then, of course, another conversation that we had on the way home was, don't look at me. I got my hand in my pocket just now. Another thing that he taught me, he says, don't stand around. Look busy whether you're busy or not. You need to look busy. Don't just stand around. And so there was teaching lessons. So I worked made hours, and then it was about a 20-minute ride home, 20, 25-minute ride home. And so there was a teaching. So I was pretty pooped when I got home. But there are two things, and you say, what does it have to do with the message? Well, just keep listening, because there's two things that he taught me, that he instilled in me, and I'm not going to say I'm perfect in it by no means, because we all fall short in many ways, but there's some lessons that we're taught growing up. And one of those lessons is give 110% in anything that you do. It doesn't matter what it is, give 110%. And so I remember my dad teaching that. And then the other thing that he taught me was always try to keep your word. Always be trustworthy. Amen. Have integrity. And so that's what I've tried to do. I can't say that I've been perfect at it in my years, but that's the two things that has instilled. Well, let me say tonight the fact, and if I was to make this statement, we could just about end the service. But I'm going to make this statement tonight. Is in those two things which my father was thought to be two of the most important things in life, give 110% and keep your word. Jesus did both. Yes. Jesus gave 110% in everything that he did. And not only did he give 110%, he kept his word. And him keeping his word is what gives us hope tonight. That's why we titled this message, Hope Rose with the Dawn. Because Jesus literally kept his word. He gave unconditionally because he gave himself. He gave himself wholly. Every aspect of himself he gave for you and for me. And you'll never have anyone that loves you like Jesus loves you. I think of some of the leadership that we have in place now, and it's concerning. Because there's not integrity in many things that's being said. But I want us to focus on Jesus Christ, because He's the King. And He's Lord of Lords. And so regardless of what man does, and that's what our challenge was this morning, keeping Jesus in the middle of the storm, we need to keep Jesus in our life because He's trustworthy. And He has integrity with the things that He said and the things that He did. Notice verse 6 again. The Bible says, as they came to see the sepulcher and as they came to visit Him, the word says, He is not here. Now, if they would have seen the empty tomb, a person might have thought, well, and there was some chatter about this, but a person might have thought that somebody took Him. You know, somebody took Him, and so then they would have been panicked. They would have been, think about it. You go to a grave and the tomb's empty. And so they would have been fearful because of the absence of the body of Jesus. And that's why I think verse 6 is so important, because it said, He is not here, for He is risen. So we know where He went. They're telling them, He's not here, for He is risen. But the most important thing is the simple fact that it goes on to say, as He said. And see, that's where our integrity comes from. That is where the promise comes from. And that is where our hope comes from. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's done everything He said He's going to do. Now, what about Him coming back? I've heard it all my life. I've heard that Jesus Christ is going to come back. I was actually talking about it with someone the other day, and we were kind of chatting about it. And he said, when do you think He's going to come? And I said, I don't know. And you know, you look at the things around us and we say, well, things can't get much worse. Well, I have learned in life, there was things that was going on in the workplace because of the pressures and a lot of things and the changes in the workplace that you might have said 15 years ago, we can't take much more, it can't get any worse. And today I wish I could go back 15 years, because they're much worse. So we think in our mind, things can't get much worse in this world, and they're bad. But we don't know when Jesus Christ is coming, but I can rest assured and I can promise you, based upon what the Word of God said, He is coming. And we need to be ready. That's part of that integrity that I'm talking about. Trustworthy. And that's why I want us to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's an invitation that they're given. So he's risen, as He said, and then they're inviting them to come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see. And if they was to look into that empty tomb, they would not see the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that testimony, and because the Scripture records it for us, we have hope. We have hope. I've talked to individuals, about their salvation, and they made mention the fact that they're saved and they accepted Christ as their personal Savior, and then there's still doubt in their mind, and I've had individuals talk to me before, and they'll say, but I know I'm saved, and I know I've asked Christ to come into my heart, but would He really love me enough that I'm going to get to go to heaven? They were concerned. Well, if there's any doubt in our mind that we're not going to be in heaven, it should be a concern. I mean, it should be a concern in a person's life. But then I began to talk to some of these individuals, and I told them, let me try to help you here. And they're thinking about themselves. And they're thinking about their life, and they're thinking about their mistakes, and they're thinking about their shortcomings, and they're thinking about, and it's all about them. But salvation is not all about them. or us. Salvation is all about Him, because we're going to fall short. And that's why that verse is in the Bible, that when we do sin, and we know, I walked away from the Lord, as far as I didn't walk away from Him. I backslid in my teenage years, but there wasn't a day that went by that I didn't know that I was not where I needed to be. I knew. Okay, didn't mean I was following Him the way that I should, but I knew that I wasn't where I needed to be, and that conviction was there, and I'm so grateful for that verse that said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, it doesn't depend on us. Everything about salvation depends upon Him, not us. And that's what I was trying to reassure an individual, that salvation. Most important thing is there has to be a time in your life that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. There has to be that moment. But then after you have that moment and you have that reassurance, then we go to that word trust and we go to that word faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And I was carrying down a piece of furniture this week in a house that I had never been in, and it was a cedar wardrobe, and it took four of us, and I was on the backside going backwards. Well, I didn't have enough faith because the steps were kind of went this way and not straight down, and I didn't have enough faith to trust my feet that I was going to hit the steps, so I looked down. But when it comes to, and by the way, we made it, because I'm here, okay? But our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, not our own steps. You see, that's what I'm trying to paint the picture for, is hope rose in the dawn, with the dawn, because Jesus fulfilled the promise, as He said. And that's why we can have hope no matter what goes on in our country, no matter what goes on in this world. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and not in an individual. Because if we're resting upon individuals, you can see what we've got. But if our hope is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, then we'll be just fine. You see, hope rose with the dawn. And the invitation says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. There's not many things today that we can put our total trust in. But we can Jesus. We can put our total trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to spend just a few minutes in this passage. The cross is important because there had to be a debt paid. There had to be a debt paid. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but we experienced it not too long ago, and we were going through a drive-thru in High Point, there were two windows, one to pay and one to pick up your food. And when we went up to pay, I went to give the cashier the money, and she says, don't do anything. And of course, my first thought was, why? And then she said, that car up ahead of you paid for your meal. And she said, you don't owe anything. So when we went through and picked up our food, they were gone. We don't know. We waved at them, but they didn't see us. So when we sat there in the parking lot and ate, the whole time we were eating, that food didn't cost us a thing. And we enjoyed it. I'm not going to tell you a story. I enjoyed it more. But you see, salvation didn't cost us a thing. Amen. But there had to be a payment. There had to be. And Jesus Christ was that payment. You see, if He hadn't have died for our sins, we would have no hope. If He had not offered His life, we would have no hope. But thank God His death was not the end. But He rose from the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read to you just a couple of verses. Notice what Paul says in verse 17. Notice what it says. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then ye also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, talking about this life, we are all men most miserable. But notice what verse 20 says. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that sleep. You see, not only did He pay the price, but He rose from that grave. And we have hope tonight because of Jesus. We have hope. Hope rose in the dawn. So I just want to spend just a few minutes in this passage just to try to get us a little closer to our Lord. Consider the weeping. We've all experienced the death of a loved one and how that our hearts are breaking. I told you this morning that I spent a little time talking to my sister and there were bookmarks that were made for my relative's death. You know, it's kind of their obituary on this bookmark. And some of you know what I'm talking about. So I read them in order. And I read about my grandmother on my mother's side. And then 2 days later, my grandfather died on my father's side. And then so I read that one. And then I read my grandfather on my mother's side. And then I read about my daddy. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And then I read about my grandmother on my daddy's side. And so all my grandparents are all in heaven now, along with my dad. And then the last one I read was my mother. And so I read through all those. And each one, I went back to the moment that they passed away. And so you know what I'm talking about. You've got loved ones yourself. And you can go back. So you can kind of understand just the emptiness that you kind of feel. I mean, don't get me wrong. I thank God for the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord helped me through these deaths. But there's still a void in your life. And so you kind of know what you're talking about, or what I'm talking about. And so there was a void in these individuals' life. And we see the weeping. We see this, there was sadness in the air. Jesus had died. The one that they had followed. The one that they had fellowshiped with. And in a sense, the one that they trusted. The one that changed their life. So you can kind of understand the sadness that they must have been feeling. And now when they get there, He's gone. And so they were expecting to find Jesus in the grave, and I don't know how they were going to roll the stone back. There's another passage of scripture in the Gospels that talk about how that they were going to anoint the body of Jesus. But they were expecting to see Jesus. And how their hearts must have been breaking just because of the absence of Jesus. But then that weeping turned to a time of wondering. A time of wondering. In that passage of scripture that we read to you just a few moments ago, they went there and now they didn't find Him. And so now wondering what happened. The unexpected. Now, we've read this passage many times, and we've read it for many years, and we understand what happened. We understand, and we believe what happened. He rose from the dead. But this was new to them. And so this was a time of wondering. This was a time of the unknown. It was a time of wondering. They didn't find what they expected. And so the time of weeping changed quickly. Very quickly. If you've ever raised a child, and the child is crying just profusely because of something. And then all of a sudden you get that child's mind on something else and those tears just go away. Now their mind's on something else. Jesus is now gone. The stone was rolled away. And there was a great earthquake. I chuckled when some of you know this story, but every time I think of this or every time I read something in the scripture about an earthquake, I go back to several years ago. I was in Greensboro. It's been probably about maybe 8 or 9 years ago. I was in Greensboro and we were working, and I was sitting there at my desk, and all of a sudden, just it's like everything started moving, and we felt the tremor that happened up in Virginia, and we felt the tremor, and you start looking around, and if any of you have ever experienced feeling a little bit of an earthquake. Then it's really weird because you're sitting there and everything around you is starting to shake, and it didn't last long. But there was a black lady that was working in the back office, and she was a temporary lady. She was doing some temporary clerical work, and all of a sudden I hear her screaming, "The Lord's coming! The Lord's coming!" And she goes running out. I was right there with her. But can you imagine the earthquake? And it says, the Bible says, "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead." Can you imagine? Again, we have hope tonight because of that promise that He's risen. You see, there's hope in that dawn. So then that wondering turns into splendor. So I read to you just a few moments ago in verse 6, it says, "He is not here. He is risen as He said." And then the invitation to come and see the place where the Lord lay. And so now that wondering, that wondering turned into splendor. These women found something far better than what they came for. They came to find the body of Jesus, but now they came to that empty tomb. And that announcement that was made and that announcement that was given. But see, it didn't stop with that announcement, but it continued with the invitation to come and see. No one could make this happen except for our Lord. No one could make this happen except for our Lord. And that's why our hope tonight is in our Lord. Our hope tonight is in our Lord. When they arrived, they were the first ones, and they were the first ones to experience the promise of Jesus. The first ones to experience the promise of Jesus because of that announcement that was made as He said. But it doesn't stop there. After the invitation became a time for them to witness. And so you kind of see where we're going with this. It's kind of a stair step in a Christian's life. So they experienced it. They had a time of weeping. They had a time of wonder. Okay? And they had a time of experience the fact that the promise that was made. And now they have a time after the invitation was made, come and see where the Lord lay. And then in verse 7 says, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. So now they have a testimony to tell. Just like we have a testimony to tell. They had a testimony because they experienced not seeing Jesus. They had experienced the empty tomb. They had experienced the promise that was made. They saw it firsthand. And so now they were given a time to witness. They had a message to proclaim. We have a message to proclaim. We have good news. And the good news is Jesus Christ. We can tell people about how trustworthy Jesus is. We can tell people how loving Jesus is. We can tell people how that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can tell them how that He saved us. You see, we have a testimony to tell. And that's what they had. They had a witness to tell. They had good news. They had a message that took their sorrow and turned it to joy. Think about your own Christian life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How that your sorrow became joy. And that's what happened to these ladies. Their sorrow became joy because of Jesus Christ. But here's the important part about verse 7. So the challenge or the witness or what they were to do was to go quickly, tell the disciples that He had been risen from the dead, and behold, He goeth before thee unto Galilee, and there shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. So they had a message, they had a mission, and they needed to do that. So they began on their journey, and they were just simply being obedient to what the command was, and that's the same thing we have to be, is be obedient to God's Word, be obedient to the truth. And they did what they were told. There was some fear. There was some joy, verse 8. They departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. This was new to them. This was that time that their fear and great joy was in their hearts. The Bible says, and they did run to bring His disciples word, so they were going to deliver the message. They were being obedient. And what happened when they were obedient? Verse 9. And they went to tell the disciples, behold, and Jesus met them. For their obedience, they got to see Jesus. They had already experienced the empty tomb. They had already got to experience the promise that was made. But now they got to see Jesus. Do you realize that one day we're going to get to see Jesus? We're going to get to see Him. The one who loved me when I was unlovable. The one who cared for me when I was nothing to care about. The one who took me as I am. And I'm going to get to see Him. That's what they experienced. See, our obedience here, our fears, our joys, our obedience will be met with seeing Jesus. And there's not any of us that can say that we've done everything exactly right, or there's not any of us that can say that we haven't made mistakes. We make mistakes every day. And that's why I challenge people, don't look at me. But our challenge is to look at Jesus. You see, hope rose at dawn. We have hope tonight because of the resurrection. We have hope tonight because of the testimony of the empty tomb. And we can think back over think about, we're celebrating our 100th year. And when you start thinking about 100 years, and I was actually reading those obituary cards, and I was looking at the ages of my grandparents and my mother and father, and no one was the same age. My father being the youngest at 54, and no one was the same age. But every one of them gave profession of knowing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So when they took their last breath, I promise you, when they got in the presence of the Lord, there was no turning back because they were with Jesus. And that's the promise that we have. That whenever that time comes, and it's going to be different for each one of us, and of course, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and then I'll be running with that black lady saying, "The Lord's coming." But unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, remember that we're going to get to see Him. Because hope rose at dawn, and the resurrection is what gives us our hope. Tonight, may we thank our Lord for the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And simply accepting us just as we are.
Yes.
I'm grateful. I don't know about you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And we thank You for that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's someone that just wants to come to this altar and say, "Thank You, Lord," I invite them to come. Help us to realize that we have a testimony. Help us to realize we have a message. And help us to realize to be obedient. But most importantly, help us to realize it doesn't depend upon us, but everything depends upon Him. Lord, You've been good to us. And we're so grateful. We can trust You. Help us to keep our focus on You. So, Father, I pray that You'll bless this invitation. Meet needs, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jim, what number do you have for us?
That's 281.